Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Good Saturday afternoon and welcome to Ride at Home with Rich. I'm your host, Rich Orris. Thanks for tuning in today. And I've got a lot on tap for you today. And I'd love to hear your thoughts or opinions on some of them. So starting with your kitchen or your bathroom remodeling. Okay, so which would you do first and why? And then along with the pros and cons of a walk-in shower. If you have a walk-in shower, do you love it? Call in today and let me know your opinion on walk-in showers, or which would you remodel first, your kitchen or your bathroom, and why would you do that? Or you can ask me any of your remodeling questions. The number you need for the next hour, 314-241-9797. And we can also have conversations about some simple design solutions for your home and the latest in some residential zoning and codes in our area. And every week, halfway through the show, will be my Ride at Home hack. So keep it tuned here for that. You're not going to want to miss today's. So to kind of start off today, I have some really sad news for my listeners. Today kind of marks the end of an era. So we've been working on the rules and regulations for the gift card giveaway. And we finally came to the conclusion this week, trying to work through it, that it's just too complicated. It's really hard to do. And we're just going to stop doing that. And I apologize for not calling Bill last night. Bill, if you're listening out there, that's the owner of Stefanina's. He's probably like, "What? I haven't heard anything about this." But so yeah, we're gonna kind of just stop that for now. So
you know, Rich, if you have any leftover gift cards,
yeah,
so, I'm right down the street.
That's right. So that is a thing there that we were kind of talking about is, you know, is there, we were trying to think of other ways to do it over social media and stuff like that. So I would advise everybody, probably not real fast, but in the next few weeks, we may come up with some ideas on like Twitter polls or, you know, stuff like that. Maybe some questions on Facebook, on my Facebook page. Watch my social media. You can find it's super easy. If you do Rich Orris Mosby, you'll find me on Facebook, real super easy, or just at Rich Orris, you'll get to my Twitter. And we're going to try and come up with some ideas to maybe give some of those away over my social media in the future. And we'll start probably doing more like that over my social media, you know, in the future, just to have something to do for, you know, all my fans and listeners and all of that stuff. So we'll come up with different ways to do it. But for now, live on the air, it's just really not going to work anymore. But you know what? The good side of this is you can still call in. You can still ask yours truly any home improvement questions, remodeling questions, anything going on around your house that you have. Your 1 hour free consultation here for you. So feel free to give me a call, 314-241-9797. Or if you're further away listening over the internet, 866-455-9797. So for now, I'm going to jump straight into the phones because we have Eric, on the line who, has a question for us. So are you, with us, Eric?
Yes, I am. Thanks for taking the call.
Yes, thanks for calling in. What do you have going on?
Well, you were asking about walk-in showers, if you love them or you hate them.
Absolutely.
And my experience, and it may be a little rare, but we have a daughter in a wheelchair, and as she grew older and she became adult-sized, we needed to really come up with a way. So long story short, we expanded our downstairs bathroom which was a half bath, into a full one. And we put in a 3 by 6 foot, literally you can take a wheelchair chair, a bath chair, mm-hmm. and ride it in there. So it's really zero clearance. We had to build up the floor, so it was up about an inch. You know how, and then you...
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, we did this thinking, well, okay, this is the best thing for her. And it turns out that virtually everybody now uses that shower just because it's quick, it's easy, it's got plenty of room, and why go upstairs and do all that stuff when you've got to get ready quick here or get quick there? So although I'd anticipated it because of her needs, it turns out it's probably the best remodel thing I've ever done in my life.
Yes, that is absolutely true. And, you know, they're just so almost like a spa-like thing. They're just so nice and open and, you know, getting in and out is so easy and comes into play for everyone. And we always try and, you know, advise people to, you know, not only think about the future, but think about what may happen. You know, you could literally just break your leg and then you're trying to get into a bathtub to, you know, shower with a bag over your leg and all this stuff. And so it's worth it to people to at least look into it, figure out what it takes, find out the cost, and then you can make a good, you know, educated decision from there on whether it's, you know, right for your remodel or not. So, but that's cool. So you found out because you had a need, but you found out the need for everybody and how nice it is.
Well, and absolutely, and we had to move walls. That's an expense. But the actual shower install, I don't think was much more expensive than, well, I know it wasn't any than if you would have tried to, you know, just redo a tub and, you know, replace the tile and the plumbing and all that. There's some maybe additional cost, but not much at all.
Yeah, yeah. So did you say it was like just a real low threshold, like an inch high, and maybe there's like a little ramp into it?
Right. It's made with that synthetic stone, and I'm forgetting the name. So that the base is that as well. So that's up an inch.
Onyx material?
Right.
Yep.
And so we had to bring up the floor about a half inch. Half inch ply, marine ply. So there's a little ramp to come to the door threshold. And then as you come to the shower itself, there's just a slight incline, and that's done just with mud and tile, you know, just maybe another quarter inch.
Yeah.
And then there's vinyl and I want to say brush, like, I don't know what, but there is a barrier that's about an inch high that gets collapsed whenever you, you know, roll into it or roll out of it. And we just use a shower curtain. We don't even have, you know, like glass doors or anything. We just have a shower curtain.
Yeah, no, that's great. And that is, the most cost-effective way to get in like that with that Onyx shower base. And I can, I'll touch on this when I do some stuff about these walk-in showers, because that is the easiest, most cost-effective way to get to that to work for you. The way you did it is the best way to do it and the most cost-effective, you know, for
from a cleaning point of view, you don't have 1,000 grout edges either. You know, you have your corners, and that's what you keep clean, and that's what you do.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Eric, I appreciate the call and the conversation. Absolutely love it. We got to get into a break here, but I will definitely touch on more of that with those showers and how they're kind of done and the pros and cons of that when we return. And if anybody else has any thoughts on that or your kitchen or bathroom model, which do you do first and why, give us a shout, 314-241-9797. All right, we are back, and just had a great call and conversation with Eric about walk-in showers. So I'm going to kind of switch the direction I was going to go and just change up and get right into this walk-in shower stuff while it's kind of fresh and on everybody's mind here, because he brought up a really, really good point. And if you out there have any thoughts on this, or if you have one, and maybe there's, because there are a couple of cons to it that we could talk about. So maybe there's some disadvantages that you've done it, and maybe there's parts of it that you had to change or didn't like because of some of these cons. So feel free to give me a call, ask any of your remodeling questions, or have another conversation about this or the kitchen and bathrooms, and which one would you prefer to do first? 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. The lines are wide open and ready for you. So for right now, when you're thinking, you know, about a walk-in shower, well, when you think about a bathroom remodel in general, you know, there's so many factors to think about with, you know, everything that goes into it, the vanity, the color, the style, the tile selections, what kind of materials and why, which ones, you know, clean easier, which ones have more maintenance down the road. You know, there's definitely a lot of reason to get some really good professionals and some really good advice and do a lot of research into all of these, you know, different things in there so that you can, you know, kind of just choose what's best for your needs, you know, in there. And, you know, as we look at them more and more, the walk-in showers are definitely becoming way more popular. And the bathtubs are, you know, tending to kind of trend out. It seems like there's definitely not, you know, I don't know if it's kind of people with less time, we're always in a hurry, but really just not, you know, getting into the bathtubs anymore. And probably way more than even 9 out of 10 people that I speak with are, you know, basically you ask that question about that bathtub, they never use it. And it's just kind of wasted space. And everybody's looking to use that space for the shower to make a really nice walk-in shower or a two-person shower. Or there's so many, you know, different ways to go with that. And but thinking about, you know, the construction level of a true walk-in shower, you know, if you really wanted to be able to go into your bathroom smoothly, get in there, and then smoothly transition into a shower that drops down. And you think about all your subfloors, you know, everything's the same height until you add hardwood, carpet, all the different materials. And, you know, the tile starts to get a little taller than the carpet, but it's all basically flat and level at the same subfloor height. So if you have a smooth walk-in when you get to that shower, to truly have no inclines, then you need to actually frame down into the floor in order to, you know, like Eric was talking about, we went up a little bit, about a half inch coming into the bathroom, and then we went up maybe another half inch coming into the shower, and that raised us an inch, which let us drop down that inch to, you know, a floor drain that will drain that water. Well, if you don't go up like that, then you can't go down like that. So you have to go down with your subfloor, your framing, stuff like that. It is absolutely possible. We do it all the time. It's just a little more work, a little more costly in the end, but truly makes that, you know, transition directly in to that shower. So, you know, as you're looking at how to do that, you can, you know, go that other route. And the Onyx material that we were talking about is a really great way to do it because they make a low threshold that's only about, you know, and I think it's about an inch and a quarter, an inch and a half high off your subfloor. So when you add that extra half inch and you add some tile and everything, you basically almost get to the top of that, like Eric was saying. And they actually make little ramps out of that onyx too, where you can just ramp that whole inch if you want. So there's several ways to kind of do that to get in and out, but that is definitely the easiest and the most cost effective. And you can custom make the size of that, you know, shower floor to where you come in and where the drain hits and all of that. So it is definitely a wonderful way to do that and to, you know, obtain that easy entry shower that you can just walk right in into, and then you wouldn't need like a glass enclosure. You can make it big enough where you can get around and, you know, maybe turn the corner before you get to the water so the water won't spray out the opening. That's kind of a traditional scheme in how to put one of those together and keep the water kind of inside. It's always nice to have a bench in there, you know, when you do a walk-in shower like that. So that's always very convenient. But so when you think of the advantages of a walk-in shower, you know, the exact reason that Eric did that for his daughter is the absolute number one reason for a walk-in shower is generally accessibility. You know, it's one of the biggest advantages of the walk-in shower. Besides just aesthetics, the accessibility factor is very, very important. And if you have any kind of mobility problems, you know, you're suffering with any joint pain, you know, walk-in showers are great for all that, and keep you from making a lot of extra effort getting in and out of that shower. And like Eric talked about, how just convenient it was for everybody that didn't even need that. It definitely reduces.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The risk of any falling, which is a major concern as you get, you know, age in place and get older or with small children. So not having that curb or threshold, you know, wheelchair users have a real easy entry. That is definitely the number one reason that, you know, is that people are doing that and the best advantage out of it. A second reason, which, you know, is probably not as noticeable, but Eric kind of mentioned that also, is the cleaning factor. And it can also kind of help with clogs and stuff too in the drain and everything, because it's definitely easier to clean. It gets rid of a lot of the curves and the different areas in the shower and the transitions from the wall to a traditional shower base. If you can have that wall go straight down to that floor, tile straight down into the drain, it's just a more effective path. Think of it as like grading the yard and, you know, making a straight path to where this is where I want my water to go. Well, the more things you get in the way, you're going to slow it down, you're going to clog it up, you're going to have problems. So you can definitely make it easier to keep clean, especially with that Onyx. If you have the Onyx wall, it's real easy to squeegee that down to the floor and then wipe it right in. You've got the one caulk joint there at the bottom corner that's your, you know, your maintenance or the inside corners of the walls. But it makes it definitely easier to clean. And your drains, you can have like a, you know, a trench, longer trench drain that would get things into it easier. The other advantage, the third one, is kind of that spa experience we were talking about. Just really not having that barrier, not having that door, just really makes it such a nice area and almost a spa-like feel to what you're doing in the shower, in the bathroom. Disadvantages, we always like to warn people. You know, we like to know what you don't like as well as what you like. And one of the disadvantages is if you don't have like the curtain, like Eric was talking about, or no door or anything, it can get cold. You're kind of open to the rest of the room. And so it can definitely get cold getting in and out of that shower and drying off and stuff like that. But you have an area in there that you have a big enough space to dry off in. And the other one is just, in general, less privacy, which I think a lot of us with clear glass and wanting the room to look bigger and all that, we're not looking as tough at that anymore anyways. But you definitely get less privacy not having a door or obscured glass or something like that. So that's kind of the pros and cons and how that works and what you do with it. So we're going to get into our middle break here. I'll have my hack coming up here after the break, so stay tuned for that. And if you have any questions, give us a call, 314-241-9797. All right, we are back, and we are just flying right through this as usual. And let me tell you, I got a hack for you today. My sister kind of inspired this for me because she does a lot with her dogs, and she has quite a few dogs, and she kind of houses dogs that are in transition that needs homes and things like that. And she's really, really into it. So I kind of started thinking about, you know, we all do that. And we love our pets. They can bring us a lot of joy, but they can also bring in dirt, dust, grime into our homes. Take the hygiene thing right out of the equation. You got so much more, you know, work to do for all of that. So, you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of my children too, of, you know, what has happened over the years and what it takes to keep the place clean and do all that. But, you know, looking at your pets, muddy paws, dander, litter boxes, slobber, just, you know, taking care of pets can get a little monotonous and everything. So today I have some methods for you to, you know, trying to keep the house clean, you know, with your pets in the house. And the first one on the list is one that I literally did, is find the right vacuum. Invest in a, you know, specialty vacuum to handle pet hair. If you look for one that has a lot of the extra attachments, and stuff for removing fur from upholstery and all that, it will definitely, you know, get one that gets in easy to reach into areas so that you're getting all of the floor, the carpet, stuff like that. If for quick cleanups, you can do a squeegee or a clean tennis shoe to kind of drag and gather up hair for like a quick thing right before somebody comes over or something. But I personally bought this. We have this Bissell pet hair eraser, and it works wonders. And it really, you know, doesn't clog the hair as much and stuff like that. I can tell you when you get to my daughter with very, very long blonde hair, they are looking at short pet hair, not 18-inch long, you know, teenage daughter hair. So it still has a little bit of trouble handling hair like that. But for the pet hair, the living room, the stuff like that, it really works wonders. So the next on the list is using baking soda. So when you need to eliminate some of those pet odors, we advise from time to time on your carpets and rugs, just basically dust some baking soda. It's all natural. It absorbs the odors. Just sprinkle it on. Let it sit for a few hours or even overnight if you can't do it at the end of the night. Vacuum in the morning. Simply vacuum it up. Presto, there you go. Very easy way to keep control over some of the smells. One of the big things is to really make sure that you're tending to where the pets sleep. Opt for beds that are machine washable to cut the odors down. You can throw the covers or the entire bed sometimes in the wash, and that's a simple way to kind of keep their little area, bedtime, nap time area, nice and clean for them too. They would enjoy it. And one of the main key things is just to clean up as soon as possible. You know, when accidents happen, whether it's, you know, going to the bathroom or food, water, get that stuff cleaned up as soon as possible, as soon as you see it. You can try for a homemade solution. Try a little one part vinegar with one part water, and that will help clean everything up and kind of control, you know, some of those smells and everything. Another thing that we have at our house is we have an actual carpet cleaner that is meant for small spots. It's a really neat thing. And you basically put the cleaner, everything in it, in the water, get hot water in it, and you just set it right on the spot that you've cleaned up. And you know, instead of shampooing the entire carpet, it does just like about a 10-inch circle. You set it there. It runs for like a half hour, 40 minutes, does its whole thing, dries it out. It's a really neat thing. And that's a great way to clean that stuff up right away, too. Another thought, it's something that a lot of people might not think about, is cleaning up the pet toys. Clean the pet toys often. For hard toys, you can just throw them in the dishwasher. And or for soft toys, you can toss them in the washing machine. With some baking soda. If they can't go in the washing machine, just use some of that vinegar water mixture and wash those soft toys up, you know, and do that regularly. So another thing is to set up your entrance so that it helps keep the rest of your house clean. So have rugs there to stop the messes. Keep like a basket with some towels for cleaning off paws and stuff like that. They also have those wipes that you can have over there. So, you know, attack that mess before it even gets into your home is a great idea. And then another one is kind of called keeping an extra layer around. So think about blankets. If you lay blankets over your sofas, your chairs, stuff like that, it'll kind of help collect that fur where they like to lay. Then when guests stop by, you can simply just move those blankets for the time being. And then you can wash those blankets in the washing machine to get rid of all that and clean it up and then just keep that stuff covered. Another great idea that we've done a few times is kind of camouflaging their areas, especially like litter boxes. Consider putting them like inside a cabinet that has some access for the cats to get in and out. It'll keep the whole space neat and clean. It helps with the odors. And then you can open the doors and get in there when you're ready to clean up the litter box and everything. And another way that you could do this is, you know, integrate that idea into their food area also, where you can have a cabinet. I even saw one with a drawer where the food bowl and water bowl's in a drawer that you could literally close a door. It has some storage for your pet's food. Keeps everything in that area, keeps it, you know, nice and neat and clean. Another great idea is to give your pets their own space. They actually like that, but if you keep their bed, their food, their water bowls, their playthings kind of in the same space, then they will like to go to that space, and it really helps contain that mess into one area. And it, you know, creates comfort and security for your pet too. They actually like that. And then the last final one is actually, you know, just where do you let your pets go? Where do you access, where do you let them access and where do you not? So keep your dogs at bay with some baby gates, and because there's specific rooms that you might not want them in sometimes and or all the times, like, you know, kids' playrooms. They got all the small toys, the stuff that the dogs love to chew up. So works well for your children, but it works well for your pets also to keep them in and out of where they should be. So hopefully that helps some people out around the house and helps you stay ahead of the, you know, pet hair cleanup and, you know, really getting some ideas for you there on how to stay in tune with that. And last week, we did one on plaster walls, kind of an old building theme. I do one of these every week. You can find them every week on my Twitter. You can get a link to it there, at Rich Orris, or my Facebook. You can see the whole post. If you look up Rich Orris Mosby on Facebook, you'll find me real easy, and you can find every week we'll have all of these hacks posted and you know, ready to go for you with some nice pictures of the things and what they look like and stuff like that too. So hopefully that helps everybody out. And I think, Eric, we'll get into our final break here and we can get into some of these other items here, some small design ideas for you when we return. All right, this is it. Last segment. My favorite hour of the week. If you have anything for me or you want to get in on the conversations, give me a call, 314-241-9797. And speaking of the phones, I'm going to go right to Jackie and see what we have going on.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
There, Jackie?
Yes, I am.
All right. What do you have for us?
Well, I was wanting to know, when the kitchens and master baths sell a home, how much money do you know to put into a renovation in comparison to the value of the home, so that you're not, you know, you'd like to make money off of renovations?
Yeah, so that is actually a very, that's a great question and a very hard question to answer. And I actually just had a client yesterday that they're selling her mom's home, and her mom has gone off into like an assisted living place. And the real estate agent's saying, well, you should fix this stuff up and you'll probably spend this much money and that'll get you closer. And they're also in an area where there's a lot of tear down rebuild. So they have a developer offering them an amount of money that they're like, well, you know, that's less than what we would put into it. So they feel like they might lose. But when you renovate, you really have to think about, one, you know, renovation is getting more and more expensive. And when you look at who you're renovating with, you got to watch for, you know, the better the service, the better the company, the more they get it on time, the better they perform everything, the more it's going to cost. So when we had all the recession and all the stuff happened, 2008, 2009, it kind of reset the housing market a little bit. And really, you know, the return on investments that we would see, and, you know, a good thing for someone like you to look at is Remodeling Magazine does a study every year, and it's averages, so it's hard to be, you know, right on spot with them, but the percentages are pretty accurate, where they talk about, you know, people that fixed up their house, what did it cost and what did they get back for it? And they kind of have some averages they talk about of like how much you get back from a kitchen remodel or a bathroom remodel. And that percentage is lower today than it was pre-2008. So when we looked at remodeling a kitchen in 2000, you know, 4, 5, 6, we were literally telling people you got more than 90% of that investment back. And they were talking immediately. If you spent even upwards of, you know, to make the math simple, $100,000 for a really good high-end kitchen, you're going to get like $93,000 of that back when you sell your house, whether it's 2 weeks or a year or whatever. And of course, the longer you stay there, the more you get back, because the home values, you know, tend to grow eventually, you know, every time, even after a recession, they'll eventually start coming back. So now those averages, if you go to that Remodeling Magazine, you research that, those averages went down. They're coming back up a little bit. I think kitchens might be in the 70s. So it's very hard to try and decide how much do you really put into it, and what are you going to really get back out of it, because of those percentages aren't as high as they were, you know, years back. And the home values, they're getting back up there, but they're still not just, you know, growing like they did then. And I don't know that they ever will. So more and more remodeling is really being done for yourself and for the people that I want to stay in this home for 10 years or more, or my kids too. And they're going to be leaving for college from this home. So make my kitchen something I can enjoy for the next 16 years or more, and not have issues and not have problems or not have to redo it again. You know, don't do something that's going to lessen the value or something like that. So, you know, and the only way to really take advantage of it, and this is what I was talking to my client about, because we've done a lot of work for her at her house. We've done a lot of work at her mother's house over the years. And, you know, I kind of told her part of the problem that she has is we're a premium company. We have a premium level of service, and we do everything for them. She actually called me about this just for the advice, because she knows that I just, you know, I see this stuff all the time. And she's like, just wanted my opinion. What would you do and how would you do it? So I'm kind of explaining to her that, you know, unless you can find like the home developer is going to find very cheap people, very cheap turnover, and either remodel it or they're going to just tear it down and rebuild a new house. So you know, when people, you hear the nightmare stories that, yeah, somebody bought this house, they renovated it just to sell it, you know, they flip it, just like that show, Flip or Flop. They do it real fast, they do it real cheap, and all these people have all these problems. I see them all the time because it's not done well. And that's the type of work that you're looking for to get the most of the return on investment out of that project. Your shopping price is really what you're doing. So, you know, because the least amount you spend, then that percentage will be closer and you won't, you know, lose that much. What I was explaining to her was, you're used to our service and everything. So if you go to try and do, you know, $80,000 worth of work like this woman's talking about, well, with us, if we're 20% more than who she's thinking about, because she's a real estate agent and she's thinking that, you know, you can't spend a lot of money or else you won't get your money back out of it. No one will want to do it. So they're purposely trying to find these people. Insurance companies are the same way. You know, they're like, oh, no, use this guy or do this, or, you know, and they find the cheapest people around to try and do stuff because that's how they make their money and they don't want to spend a lot. So you're kind of caught in a little bit of a quandary there of, you got to really try and find, you know, cheap price, but yet you need good quality because you're going to sell, and you can't have it not, you know, be good quality, because a lot of people can notice when it's not good quality. So, you know, it's a very tough situation nowadays to try and figure that out with what happened to the market and what's happening in remodeling and how well or not well, you know, do certain people remodel. You know, as you go, it's like anything, you know, you get what you pay for. So as you go down in price, you're literally getting less. And that's a hard thing to do. So unless you're construction savvy like myself, it would be easy for me to buy stuff, fix it up, do the labor, and then be able to get rid of it and make a profit. And that's what these developers are doing. But it's harder for homeowners to do, to pay people to make that happen. So okay. I don't know. That was a long answer to a short question. I don't know how much it helped you out.
Well, they're planning on staying in the house maybe 4 years. It's in a good subdivision, and they're probably lower priced house in this nice subdivision, which is maybe a good thing to be, that you're not the highest priced house in the subdivision. But I watch those shows on TV, and even like on Flip or Flop, they're out in California and they're spending $25,000 or $30,000 on a kitchen, and you're thinking that's California values. And then my daughter said that some fella said, well, they could do it for like $50,000 or $60,000, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that's outlandish. But the way you talk, it really isn't, and they're not even doing a lot of moving things around. They're just keeping the sink where it's at, the refrigerator where it's at, and doing some basic new cabinets, not even doing new floors.
And that's what it takes, and it's remodeling is definitely harder and more here in St. Louis than out in California, Texas, some places like that. So I'm coming to an end here, but I appreciate the call. Hopefully maybe that'll help give you a little bit of an understanding, Jackie, and I just want to let everybody else out there know that, you know, be good to everybody, try and do good things during the week, and we'll talk to everybody next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.